This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. Our series, Vital Signs, explores real-life health. Today, what the CDC ranks as the fifth leading cause of unintentional injury in this country, drowning. There have been at least 24 deaths from recent flash flooding in Texas. Some of those helping state teams search for flood victims work in UT Southwestern's Emergency Medicine Department. Dr. Deborah Dirks chairs that department. She talked with me about factors that influence drowning risk and what the search efforts were like for her colleagues.
I think the hard part about it is we're all trained, and all the rescues are trained to save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And after time, it becomes more of a recovery mission. And I think that's really hard, not only for the teams involved, and it kind of involves a transition of kind of what you're looking for and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Interacting with the family becomes a lot different.
As far as you know, who have been most of the victims? Children, adults, or?
You know, right now I think there's the ones that we most hear about are the children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this flood we've had a lot. You know, typically when you look at flood victims, they are younger adults in general from drownings themselves, which accounts for about 3/4 of all deaths from floods.
Really?
And part of it is really flash floods, unexpected, but also some risk behavior. What you hear published, you know, you see all the signs now around Dallas,
mm-hmm.
do not drive into flood water.
Mm-hmm.
People driving cars in to areas that they think they can get through and get stuck, don't realize the currents, how fast it's rising, and unfortunately they can get out of a moving, you know, of a car who's stuck in a flash flood. And the reality is, unless it's submerged, it's really almost impossible to get out of a car.
If you'd been able to find the victims sooner, might it have made a difference in whether they had survived or not?
You know, I think a lot of times when you talk about drowning, you're talking about minutes in the water. And so unless somebody sees that person go under, it really becomes almost a recovery very, very rapidly, because it's really difficult to survive.
Drowning occurs very quickly?
It does. It does. Your body can, the amount of time you can go without oxygen varies, but usually it's a matter of minutes
mm-hmm.
That you can go without oxygen. And so in these flash flood, people underestimate the currents, or they get stuck in a current. There may be debris that hit them. So it can be a combination of drowning, high waters, trauma, and really the combination of those, especially when you talk about these rivers that are moving really rapidly, is very, very dangerous.
In reading about this, I understand the definitions of drownings have changed over time. How do we define it today?
So right now, the definition of drowning is asphyxiation from submersion in water, which means you just don't get enough oxygen because of being underwater or as a result of water.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different definitions in what that can cause, and you hear about cold water, warm water drowning.
Does that make a difference?
You know, I think from a emergency medicine perspective, not really. You know, because really what we're talking about is the brain needs oxygen. Lungs don't do well in water.
Mm-hmm.
A small amount of water can damage the lungs. And when you talk about cold and warm, it's really survival and how we take care of people once they've actually survived.
Does drowning always involve death?
It doesn't. You can actually have some near drowning. And those are the people that you talk about, that you get to in time and you're able to save. And typically those are people that are found really rapidly. And we'll hit that season. Those are our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our kids who, you know, get in pools and stuff. And so we're getting into the children drowning season where we'll see a lot more near drownings.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope and pray that we can keep a good eye on our kids this summer and really don't hear too much about that. But that's really unfortunate. That's where we hear a lot more near drowning in kind of unsupervised situations versus natural disasters.
Though surviving a drowning does not necessarily mean that you escape without injury of some type.
Right. Our body has a miraculous ability to survive. Unfortunately, we need our functioning requires oxygen. And so you can survive a drowning, but if you don't get enough oxygen to your brain, you can be severely damaged from that and actually may not be able to function like you would normally do. I think the biggest danger and the worst combination is probably a young adult with alcohol.
That happens often.
That does.
What effect does the alcohol play in a situation like that with drowning?
It can do two things. One is impaired judgment. Your ability to assess a situation and determine the risk of it is altered. And the other one is it has the ability to impact consciousness. So whether you are actually awake, arousable, and can function in a rapid manner, neither of those are good when you're especially in a situation like a flood where things are changing rapidly and you need to make smart, precise, and accurate decisions.
So when you do find someone who is, well, let's say a near drowning, mm-hmm. what then should they do?
I can't underestimate the importance of calling 911 and staying on the line. Those dispatchers can help anybody through those situations if they explain what's going on, and that's really important. The other thing is hopefully most people have some understanding of CPR. You know, I think there's a lot of fear on doing CPR, but if someone's not breathing and their heart's not beating, just using compressions and pushing on their chest will get oxygen to them and will help.
You need to pull them from the water to do that,
but do
you have to be careful in how you do it?
Pulling them from the water is essential in a controlled manner, making sure you have people watching you while you do it, because a lot of times those people, as you mentioned, are scared, flailing around, mm-hmm. heavy. Mm-hmm. And making sure our rescuers are also safe. You can't do CPR in the water. So is there a great way to do it? We'd love you to, if it's a trauma, if they went in and dove off a diving board mm-hmm. and you think they are in the situation they are because they hit their head, making sure their neck is well controlled. But I think more importantly is getting them out of the water so you can actually give them life-saving intervention, call 911 and get people there to help them.
Do it somehow, yep. some way.
Yep.
What should you not do?
As a rescuer, put yourself in at risk also, so that not only you and the victim have a low chance of survival. Mm-hmm. The other thing to do is once you've get them out of the pool, move them significantly. Don't put them in the back of a car to get them to the hospital. Nothing happens without prevention, and I think that as a city, as a county, we really need to focus on preventing, which is what you've seen all along on the streets being publicized. Don't drive into water. When we talk about pools, watch your kids. They can get over a fence lickety-split, and you can, you know, and so just knowing where children are, having somebody always designated in a pool party as we get to graduation to be that person who is watching people in the water. And so the best thing we can do for local is prevention. Flood warnings, if you can prevent, if you know it's not a flash flood, read the signs. Don't go into water.
Dr. Dirks, thank you for being with me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been great.